Progressive Radio News Hour with Stephen Ledman, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and weekends at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. We will be back talking more about Egypt. Of course, it's awfully important, and I've written volumes on it. We'll be doing it over the weekend, but there are many other important things going on, and certainly one of them is the state of both the global economy and the one right here in America. You can almost call it two economies. The fat cats are getting fatter. What else? That's the way they arrange the system. So no matter what happens to the great majority of people everywhere, they seem to turn out okay even when they take a few lumps at some time or other. They arrange things so they get it all back and amass a lot more, and they certainly have done it in the past couple of years. But if you assess conditions on Main Street, and of course I'm talking about the great majority of people, and we can talk about America, we can talk about what's going on globally. People are not doing well at all, and you watch the numbers, the official numbers. I don't know what they do with them in other countries, but the ones that come out of our own official reporting organizations, whether it's the Department of Commerce or the Labor Department, they jerry-rig them to make numbers that really aren't looking so good look a lot better than they really are. And my guest today is an expert on that topic and on the economy and on finance and on other events, business, whatever, relating to these major topics. And I'm talking about Bob Chapman. And Bob joins us monthly for an update, and it's a great privilege to have Bob on. He's been at this for over four decades, writing on this stuff, and he does it twice a week, and I marvel about this all the time, and I absolutely want the listeners to know about it. His international forecaster, and Bob will give a little information about it, but literally twice a week, it is absolutely jam-packed with information that he reports often before anybody else does, sometimes months before anybody else does. I don't know how he does it, but he does. So we want to talk about what's going on in the economy right now. Bob, I welcome you back to the program.
Well, thank you very much. And to answer your question, it comes with age. I've been doing this for over 50 years, actually.
Over 50 years? Oh, my goodness.
Very exciting times. Mr. Mubarak, dictator of Egypt, is stepped down this evening. The big question is, who's going to replace
him? Officially?
Yes, it's coming, breaking news right this minute.
Oh, well, if it's breaking this minute, I have not seen it yet. Well, let me throw in one comment. I have literally, until yesterday, written daily articles on what, well, I've written, including yesterday, since January 16th, I checked the date, I have written daily articles on what's going on in the region, beginning with Lebanon, Tunisia. Most of it has been on Egypt. And I think in my first article on Egypt, Bob, I said, Mubarak is gone. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you exactly how it'll play out. But he is gone. And there's no question in my mind that Washington decided, I suspect, months, maybe even longer back than that, that he served the empire. And he overextended his stay, and he was leaving, and I'll let you pick it up from there, but he did make it official.
Yes, and it's my feeling that the whole thing came down in both areas, but particularly in Egypt, because the elitists needed an event, and the reason they needed a distraction like that is because of the financial situation in the United States as well as England and Europe. And I think they took a calculated risk. And I think they're in trouble. Now, he has stepped down because they wanted him down. He removed $70 billion from the vaults of the Egyptian people. It'll be interesting to see if he's going to have to pay it back. And incidentally, in Tunisia, the new government has put out an alert to pick up the former president and his wife and the 1.5 tons of gold that they stole, which is nothing compared to what Mubarak stole. The big problem here is that the U.S., the U.K., and Israel were behind this, and they want to replace Mubarak with Suleiman, who's a vice president, who's a reprehensible character, and they hate him just as much as they hate Mubarak, the public. And
can I stop you one minute? You said the former president. You know, the former president besides Mubarak?
The vice president.
No, you said a former president leaving
no,
with
said
so
the
much
the vice
gold.
President Suleiman.
Okay, let me let you continue.
Anyway, they want to put him in there. And he was the person who was running the CIA renditions. They did a lot of torturing there in Egypt, evidently because it was a big friendly and they could get away with it. And so this thing is not going to, not very well, turn out the way they would like it to. They've made a terrible mistake. With that said, probably the demonstrations and violence are over, and now it's a political fight to make sure that none of the entourage of the former dictator is included in anything. And I think that's going to happen, and the U.S. is going to lose big time one of their satellites, if you may. And that's going to cause problems for Israel as well. This whole thing is blown up in their face, but that's why they did it. I mean, I can see these things coming 10 miles away. And very few people agree with me, but they will in time. But that's normal for me. I'm usually 3 or 4 months or years ahead of everybody else.
Explain to me, as well as listeners, I have also been very skeptical about what's going on. Number one, the idea that these events in the street happen spontaneously. I have no doubt, Bob, that the orchestration is done in Washington, but there's no guarantee that what they have unleashed, they may have, as you say, apparently they have a tiger by the tail, and it's going to come back and bite them, and I certainly hope you're right, because Egypt is easily the most important country in the region after Israel, and of course Saudi Arabia with all their oil, but Egypt the biggest country, and it's the linchpin of Washington's Middle East policy. And if they unleash this tiger, and now it's going to come back and eat them alive, then they really made a colossal mistake. Oh my goodness, I hope you're right. What basis do you have anything you know that you can share with listeners to clue us in why you think that's the likely outcome of what's going on?
Well, I've had some talks with people who agree with me, and I'll have to leave it at that. And also, it's classic. I mean, just go back and look at some of the other things that they've pulled, like the colored revolutions in Eastern Europe. It's the same old pattern. You think they'd smarten up. But they don't. They think they're too smart. They know everything. We're stupid. And so they can go right ahead and do what they did before, where anybody with half a brain could figure out what they're doing. This is not spontaneous. It was planned that way. Yes, the basics were there. High food prices, low wages, a dictatorial, oppressive government. And they decided as a secondary thought, get rid of Mubarak, and he'll be put on the board of some foundation or something to make him look important.
Has he left the country?
I don't think so. I think he's going to leave this evening. But the point here is that there's a classic formula they followed, and I saw it immediately in Tunisia, so I knew something was up. And so you'll find out in time that that's really what happened, and they blew it. And I'm happy about that. And I don't think Egyptians are going to turn to radicalism. They're not that kind of people. Look, they just want to live. They want to make more money. They want to eat. and when they want to, you know, be happy. They're not aggressive people. And so I think it'll work out pretty well for them, but
well,
not for the United States.
I absolutely agree with
the
you.
UK and Israel.
And the so-called bogeyman, the Muslim Brotherhood, I wrote about the Muslim Brotherhood. They go back to the 1920s when they were allied with British intelligence. Then after the CIA was established in 1947, beginning in the 1950s, they established ties with the CIA. And at least that period and years afterward, they were very concerned with being capitalists. They opened banks, they opened businesses, and they literally didn't give a damn about the poor people of Egypt. Now, whether the leaders today feel the same as ones way back then, I have no idea. But to see them as an extremist Muslim threat, well, that is absolute rubbish. That's the last thing they are.
Well, I agree with you. That's the last thing they are. They're entrepreneurs, if you may.
Yeah,
and
I think they still are.
I think it'll all work out pretty good, considering what's transpired. But the distractions there that they wanted, so people wouldn't be looking at the terrible mess financially that the U.S., U.K., and Europe are in, and that'll last for 2 or 3 months. And to them, it was worth the sacrifice. But on the other hand, if they lose Egypt, which they're going to, then it wasn't worth it. And I think Egypt would be something like Sweden. It'll be neutral. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I hope for that. Anyway, the markets in the United States are being affected by the debts of the states, the municipalities, many of which are going to go bankrupt. I've been telling people with municipal bonds for 3 years to get out of them. And those that get out, they save their skins. Those that didn't, I just found another one this morning with $200,000 worth of bonds. And I said, get out while you can, because we don't know who's going under and who isn't. And then the president's talking about lending money to the states, because they're not supposed to go bankrupt, to tide them over for the money that's being used for extended unemployment that they're paying. The Fed says they're going to lend them the money to pay it. It's Mickey Mouse. And Gingrich, behind the scenes, has a bill he wants to present to allow the states themselves to go bankrupt so that they can do away with part or all of the pensions and benefits for the people who work for so many years for retirement.
Do you think that's a possibility? Will they pass something in Congress?
I don't know, because we just saw the new Tea Party representatives yesterday vote down a permanent extension of the Patriot Act, and that's the first win we've had in years. But the guys and gals that are in there, I think they're all guys, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and that's a nightmare for all the people that are getting paid off, which are the other 95%. And so we may be going to make gains in the things that we want as Americans, irrespective of political affiliation, that dichotomous paradigm. And I think that we get a good start here. And, gee, if they could stop that medical reform bill in its tracks, it would be wonderful, because it would kill 20, one of them has been nullified already, but 20 tax increases, and they wouldn't be able to use their death boards to get rid of people.
Boy, do I hope something happens to derail the so-called health care reform. But, of course, it's a big battle, and I think you'll agree that ultimately the Supreme Court is going to decide, and there are forces that the court supports on either side of that battle, so I simply have no idea which way the court will go. The court nearly always is pro-business, but there are strong pro-business sides on either side of this issue. The Republicans, the businesses that have to pay for this, they absolutely want no part of it. And the idea of deciding they won't give their employees health care when they've already given it to them, even though they make their people pay more for it all the time, that would make it harder to attract some people they may want to hire if they ever begin hiring again. And the industry providers, the drug companies and the insurers and the big hospital chains, because they love this thing because it's a honeypot for them. So you've really got some powerful forces on either side. I have no idea how the Supreme Court will go, but I think for sure they're going to decide.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's going to be expedited. But
well, I
hope it's defeated.
With all these states coming down and saying, a state Supreme Court's calling it illegal, or maybe not Supreme Courts, but state courts.
No, they were federal courts.
Federal courts in the states.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then the AGs, most of them have said the same thing. This is illegal.
And it's
and
mushrooming.
They're all attorneys, so you would think that maybe they might be right if they all say the same thing.
But
we're using logic here, and when the elitists behind the scenes make the decisions, logic doesn't apply. These people are all compromised.
Oh, absolutely.
They are all paid off one way or the other. There's only a handful that aren't, and you saw them vote against the extension permanently of the Patriot Act.
Yeah, and they're going to pass it.
What, the Patriot?
You don't think they'll pass it?
Yeah, probably an extension for a year or two or three, whatever it is. I think that's in the cards.
I don't know.
It's a guess.
What are they upset about on the Patriot Act? I thought the Republicans loved it.
Well, most of them do, but they had a segment that broke away and voted with the Democrats.
That really is extraordinary. I mean, the Patriot Act stripped away three or four of the Bill of Rights, and these people support, it's about as undemocratic an act as you could want. And, of course, all the ones that followed the Patriot Act, that was step one. And then there were so many other steps that followed it. I mean, one police state law after another, Bob. But, I thought they're just going to keep reinstituting that act ad infinitum, even if they do it a year or two at a time, but just keep that damn thing going. It's going to take a national rebellion, I think, to get that thing repealed.
Well, you may get that, too.
Well, we may get it.
What they're
sure
doing is trying to extend everything.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I watch what's going on in Egypt, and we want to talk about the economy, Bob, but it relates to what's going on right here. I watch those people on day 17 or 18 right now, and they're on the streets, hundreds of thousands, over a million at times, just sleeping in the streets. I mean, can you imagine this? They're sleeping in the streets, and I'm watching what's going on here, and I'm saying, what in hell are Americans thinking about? They've lost their homes. They can't find a job. They're getting this. Their benefits are getting slashed. They're in danger of losing Medicare, Social Security, everything. They have a government that literally is attacking them. When in the hell are they going to react?
When their bellies are empty.
When their bellies are empty. That is the answer. When enough of them get hungry. I've said the same thing myself. When enough of them get hungry and they don't know where their next meal may come from, that's when we'll see. That's when the rubber meets the road.
Well, I think there'll be massive demonstrations and some clashes, and then I think the military will step in and they'll take the government over.
Yeah.
Now, that's the best we can hope for.
Oh,
and otherwise, there's going to be civil war.
That's scary, Bob. That really is scary, but it could happen. We literally could have a military coup.
Well, it's preferable to what we've got because the people we've got in there politically who are controlled by the people from behind the scenes, they all have to be brought to court and found guilty of all of the things that they've done, and some of them have committed treason, like our ex-president. He should be hung.
They should be hung. I prefer just breaking rocks for the rest of his life in chains. In the wintertime in Siberia and in the summertime on Devil's Island, on bread and water and not too much of it. That's my punishment. That's a lot better than hanging.
whichever way we want them out of the positions that they're in, that they can control the destiny of a country. The banks have to be taken over, the brokerage firms, the insurance companies, and they have to abide by the law. No more Mr. Insider with the public getting screwed all the time. That game has to end, and all the assets that they've got have got to be taken away from them and given to the Federal Treasury.
And, Bob, at the same time, you've made the point over and over again in the International Forecaster that their dirty game may go on for some months more. I think you've at times said maybe another year, but things are spinning out of control. It keeps getting worse, and there's a moment, and nobody can predict exactly when this whole thing is going to blow up, and it could be late this year, it could be next year, but it's coming. Talk about that.
Well, number one, it's impossible to put a timeline on, and you learn that through experience, because anything can happen that can change the timeline. But all the basics are there. There's no way back, and that's financially and economically. And had they bitten the bullet in 1992, it would have been better, or in 2000, 2001, it would have been better. But they didn't want to do that. And they created one bubble after another. The first it was real estate, then it was a dot-com, and then there was real estate again, which has been destroyed almost permanently. The stock market's next. It's going to collapse somewhere along the way. And America's got to understand and are unwilling to do so, because they still live in this dream world, that there has to be major changes. And those changes will only come about if the government faces the fact and explains to the people what's really wrong. And what's really wrong is the Federal Reserve and the bankers on Wall Street control everything. They do anything they want. They break all the laws. They make the laws. I mean, can you imagine a brokerage house and bank, four of them over a three-month period, never had one losing day of trading? I was a trader for 25 years. Impossible.
It's impossible, absolutely. I mean, it's just astonishing. If that doesn't smell to high heaven, I just don't know what.
It's like
you're running the roulette wheel, and you got a little knob underneath, so you know you can put your own bet down, and you can make it stop on red or black on any number that you want. And I mean, you watch for the innocent lambs that are putting big chunks down, and you just make certain that they get slotted, and you just keep breaking it in. Everything is a winner for you and a loser for them. It really is a disgusting system.
It certainly is, and that's what we want to change.
We sure as hell want to change it. It just obsesses me all the time, Bob. And the other thing, that there's so many things that obsess me, the stripping away of our civil liberties, a nation that simply doesn't give a damn about human rights or civil liberties, and the permanent state of war, where we literally are permanently at war, and if one scenario ends, like when the Soviet Union dissolved in 91, the Berlin Wall came down a little ahead of that, then you simply invent another enemy, and you go to war again to keep the militarists in clover, just like the bankers. Not quite as much clover as the bankers, but plenty. So billions or multi-billions, I mean, we're talking about an awful lot of money, and they keep raking it in, and we keep paying for it. It's our money that's paying for this. So they're picking our pocket to make these bastards rich, super rich.
And they're not happy with being super rich. They have to control everything. They have to enslave everybody. And this is their goal. And they come right out and tell you they want to do that. And how do they control Social Security and Medicare and Medicare? If you have a chronic disease and you're over 60, you're dead. It's pretty simple. That's what they want to do. It's called euthanasia. It's eugenics. I mean, you should read some of the stuff that these people have written. They want to know who can marry whom, who can have children, who's going to become a carpenter, and who's going to become an engineer. They want to control all jobs through major corporations called monopolies. And you, Mr. Jones, you've been chosen. You can have two children with your wife. And you'll work in San Francisco, and she'll work in Miami. And the kids will go to a government school in Illinois, and you get together every summer for 3 weeks at Lake Charles in Louisiana. And that's the way it is.
You know, it sounds like a combination of Huxley's Brave New World, which was the first book I read as a freshman in college, and Orwell's 1984. And you put those two together, and you're talking about the kind of world that you'd rather not be alive than live in a world like that. I mean, that is pretty, pretty ugly stuff. It's shocking what goes through these people's minds, Bob. And anybody who thinks this country is a model that the rest of the world can emulate, they better keep listening to this program and people like you and realize that it's exactly the opposite. That's the case. And there's only one way that this can possibly change. It's up to us at the grassroots to change it, because these bastards on the top, they will keep their game going as long as we let them. And it'll stop when we stop them, and that's the only way it possibly can end, unless everything just blows up in their face.
Well, I think it's going to blow up in their face. I think they're going to pay for their crimes. I think there could be revolution in different countries. But in the final analysis, we'll have put them back two or three generations before they can do it again. And maybe we'll have some decent life for people, where they won't be enslaved to interest rates and people creating money out of thin air to do what they want to do with it. And so I think we're going to win. It's not going to be easy, but telling the people what's being done to them, who's doing it, and why they're doing it is very important. I get letters from all over the world, just like you do, saying, boy, are we happy you're out there, and I'm glad you were on. I picked up your broadcast in Thessalonica, or in Frankfurt, or in Gedza, you know, cities you've never heard of.
Well, say a word about
that. I happen to have been to all of them. But the point is, we're going to get there. We're going to win.
Oh, boy, I hope so. But we're just about out of time. Say a word about the forecaster, because you're alerting people to what's going to be breaking news down the road before anybody else talks about it. Tell people about the forecaster.
Free introductory copy, theinternationalforecaster.com. Theinternationalforecaster.com. We have the hard copy as well as a email copy. The email goes out twice a week, 40 pages each time. The hard copy twice a month for those who are not on the internet. Everything you need to know every week is in there. If you'd like to email us, that address is bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll free 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. You can get free introductory copies there, and they have a special offering there for a free one-year subscription. It's a terrific deal. Take advantage of it.
Oh, and it's just amazing. I go through what you put out, Bob, and my jaw just drops at some of the stuff you're talking about. And then I find out a month, 2, 6 months later, I mean, this stuff is breaking news, but it broke in the forecast so far in advance. Just amazing. Bob, again, a terrific discussion. And these events will just keep going. This is a continuing soap opera, and we'll pick it up again next month, and I'll shoot you an email. My thanks always, Bob, for coming down. This is an enlightening program for me when you come on, because you're always teaching me stuff I don't know.
Well, thank you very much, and I guess I should have been a professor. And thank you all for listening, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. And join us this weekend. We certainly won't neglect the Egypt story and what's going on in the region, but all of this is so vitally important, and every single bit of it touches our lives, either directly or indirectly. We'll be on Saturday and Sunday, of course, at 1 p.m. Eastern. Join us then, on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern.